As far as the no fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other cool and interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
I'm Amama.
And today we had comedian Courtney Reynolds.
Courtney is my favorite. We used to bark outside the Pear a few years ago when I first moved to New York.
God.
And he was one of the nicest people in the entire world. He didn't really have to bark so much, but I was new to barking. So he's one of the best people in the world.
He's so fucking funny. He's so kind and so easy to talk to. And I loved, just talking about our immigrant experience. His parents are from Jamaica, and we're talking about our brown parents. We all have that hospitality and that tight-knit kind of community. And also our communities are always watching us.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We did talk about, how white people interact, or even now, when you have when you go over a white person's house and they don't feed you, and you're like, what's happening?
Yeah, what the fuck? Or don't offer you anything to drink.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, you monster.
Excuse me.
Or I hate the help yourself to the fridge. And my mom would, when I was a kid, would be like, never open anyone's fridge. Don't be hungry.
Literally, they'd be like, we'll kill you if you even eat a snack at someone else's house.
You are fed, you are clothed, you are housed.
Even now, sometimes I'm like, even if I go to if I go to a really close friend's house at this point, it's whatever.
Dude, I still have that ingrained in me too. I feel really weird at people. I get
I always tell anyone who comes over, I'm like, oh, just my fridge is there, just open it, grab whatever. But I have to say it because I know any brown person's like, oh, I don't know. And white people just assume that you don't get fed at someone else's house. And they're like, I don't need anything. And I'm like, okay, well, I got you snacks, bitch. So you're going to eat them.
Right. That's why I don't go to over their houses.
No. I also really liked Courtney. We talked a lot about happiness and being content where you are. But Courtney had a cool thing where he said, think back to the time that you were maybe most content, in what was going on in your life. And he's like, you can always just go back to that mindset and figure out what was it?
Absolutely.
What was happening. And now I'm 27, everyone. So that's really cool.
I am 5.
I'm 27. I'm living in Providence. I have not moved to New York yet. I am.
I know nothing. I have no responsibilities. Yeah. I'm finger painting.
I'm dating people. I'm not the one who's 5 right now. That's Athir's also dating people. It's weird.
I had a crush on a kid in kindergarten. Good times. Good nap time. The best. But it's true.
Also taking nap times at 27 because I'm quitting my job. So
exactly. Nap time you never grow out of.
No.
We need it more now than ever.
Seriously.
But I love, talking to Courtney about, we were talking about crying last time we cried and him feeling more emotionally adjusted, especially as a comedian. I think he's got his head. Yeah, exactly. And he's in a relationship and able to maintain a healthy relationship. And he's just very insightful and had a lot to contribute.
Very good dude. Hilarious. Did Secret Loft and he fucking killed.
Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah. So definitely book Courtney if you're a comedian, which I know some comedians loved the Ashton episode. So they were like, it was the first time I had comedians messaging me and I was like, awesome. And I was like, book every single person that has been on our podcast.
Please do. They're all very talented and hilarious. I did a Zoom show with Courtney over the pandemic. So it was funny, finally getting to see him in person.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And now that we're all hopefully back in person for the most part, it'll be nice to continue seeing each other perform and grow. But definitely follow Courtney. He's hilarious. He's awesome. But before we get to that, we're going to get to our first segment, the No Fly List, where we talk about people who should be on the No Fly List, our shit list, if you will, people who shouldn't fly instead of brown, innocent folks like ourselves. So, Amama, who do we have this week?
We have George W. Bush. We could also put the other Bush, and we can also put Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
We could put Jay Bush.
The whole GOP.
Barbara Bush. That bitch had a library, and we were like, she's really calm and cool. specifically W, because he absolutely destroyed Afghanistan. Also, Pakistan's at fault, too. Come on, Pakistani people. We should be a lot better at not letting, not being part of the imperialist forces. But anyway, George W. Bush, awful. He recently was just like, yeah, I really feel for what's happening in Afghanistan. I was like, that's it? It's like, you created a war for zero reason. What's happening? Like,
he's like, oops, I'm just over here painting.
Yeah. And again, it goes to show you, Afghanistan literally cannot be conquered, as people have tried multiple times, and you've just ruined the lives of every single person. So, I don't know. I hope I know he's painting, and people were like, oh my God, it's so cute. He paints now. I hope he's painting a picture of him in hell.
Oh my God. That would require a lot of self-awareness on
his part.
That'd
be really funny. Just imagine there's just like a escape of like hell, and he's just like, and that's me.
Oh my God. I think because people like don't take him seriously, and after Trump especially, they were like, we missed W. But
yeah, it was just like insane. It was like, guys, he was so stupid.
He was evil and terrible.
Evil. Yeah. And Dick Cheney, he was such a puppet and also an evil person. And it's, even
you
like
guys
when,
should watch. Is it Vice? Is the movie? About
I think
Dick
so.
Cheney.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. So George W. Bush. Honestly, the whole GOP, like I said, but specifically him for creating this fucking crisis in Afghanistan and taking zero responsibility for it.
Listen to Courtney's episode and think back to a time that wasn't the last 20 years.
Exactly. Think about a time that you were happy, and if not, this episode definitely will get you there.
Welcome to the No Fly List.
Welcome to No Fly List, Courtney Reynolds.
Yo, what's good, y'all?
How are y'all? Good to see you.
We're
already having so many fun conversations, and we forgot to press record.
I know. Guys, it was hilarious. We all killed it.
Trust me, the rest of this is going to bump.
Yeah.
You just don't talk the rest of this
talk.
Podcast.
I get real shy. Guys, I don't have such strong views on this.
It's the best, though, when you like forget that you're on a podcast. Like the other day, I was doing someone's podcast and legit like it was Jared Waters, and I've cried in front of him before, but I like started crying during the podcast over Zoom. I don't know, I think I was just like
it's
emotional, and he's also a teacher for like preschool teacher.
Feels like a safe place.
It does. And
It does.
I've cried with Jared in private, so I totally
have you?
No, a little. After a conversation with Jared, I have felt like, man, I could cry.
He has that effect on
interesting.
People.
Interesting.
Like in a good way.
Yeah. I one time just like was like, how are you doing? And then we just had a really long discussion, and I gave him some crystals. Because I was like, here you go, man. It seems like this could be helpful.
We got to have Jared on. He'll make everyone cry.
Yeah.
Me. I think that's like a test.
That'll be the real test, right? Are you a crier?
I would like to cry at times, but I am not a crier because manhood and stuff, you know, but like totally I've picked times where I'm just like I'd like to cry, and I just cry. Like we were talking about shrooms a second ago. One time I did shrooms and I looked at a picture of my dog who is still alive and I just started crying, and I was just like, this feels so good. I get to cry.
It's
and
a
like,
release. Yeah,
for like 10 minutes I just allowed it to happen. I was in a great mood.
It's actually good for you.
It is.
It's really I recently I have been doing this like meditation series, and I have been sobbing, and it's been really, and I don't cry, but it's been really nice. And afterwards, I'm like, that's fucking dope.
That was fucking dope.
Yeah. And it has
right
been.
Orgasm.
I actually did not, instead of masturbating today, I did the meditation instead, which is hilarious. Because I was like, I also was like, I'm not going to find a video in time that I have to come here. It's going to be a whole thing. And
usually
I'm gonna be
in the morning, I have a come, but
yeah.
I think I'm going to have a cry.
That's
Sometimes it's both. Right?
Sometimes it is.
It ends in a good cry.
If it's,
oh, no, I'm definitely a crier. I cry on a pretty much daily basis.
Yeah.
It's like a good thing, but I like close up so much sometimes, but like lately the guys in my life have been like, you're getting mean again. And I'm like, oh, it's because it's pent up. Because I like lashed out at one of them and I was like, you're really fucking bothering me right now and I'm at work. So like maybe just like, let's figure it out later. And then I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Let me just go cry.
I'll cry and come right back.
That's like the equivalent of like the guy getting one out before he comes to see you. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not going to be myself until I have a good cry.
It's like the opposite of therapy, though. Sometimes I'll save up my cries and like wait, like I have therapy tomorrow.
I don't cry in therapy.
And then Reiki. So I'm going to have a full, we're going to talk.
You know what's really strange? I think what I'm realizing, I always thought I was like, emotionally, I was like, yeah, like, I know I'm, like, a little, like, immature, but I was like, emotionally, I'm more mature than all of my guy friends. And then, all leagues mature. Like, even one of them, we were talking for a bit, and he was like, well, I just think, like, you know, finally, like, I'm finally with this girl I've liked for a bit. And, you know, like, I just need to be a little bit more vulnerable and open up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm deeply emotionally immature in comparison to all of my male friends who don't go to therapy. What do you guys do?
We listen to Joe Budden.
No,
Joe Budden is our spiritual leader. Drake is our psalms and music.
I don't know if I'd say Drake should be a role model anymore.
Hey, you gotta pick and choose.
Drake is like hanging out. That's
Leviticus was in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? We don't listen to everything. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I feel like we find ourselves emotionally a lot faster because like once we get our heart broken, once we analyze it till like, we're still analyzing our first heartbreak.
You guys are.
Absolutely. Mike, I'd say her name, but she probably listens to the radio. So I'm just like, you know, like, we're still analyzing what could I have done better? How could I have been better to avoid that heartbreak? Whatever. So it's like every new relationship is just like improving.
That's
and improving.
What I think needs to happen. Every, like, fuckboy needs his heart broken. Not that I'm saying you were a fuckboy.
Every fuckboy like myself has had his like heart broken.
Yeah. I was going to say, all of them. I have heard, like, there's a girl that one of my really good friends likes, and he, like, broke her heart. And now he's, like, going back, and he's been, like, and now they're, like, hanging out and slowly getting to know each other, but he was just, like, he recently got his heart broken so badly that, like, it fucked him up. Like, he was texting me, like, okay, so, like, should I reach out to her? Because it seems like she's having a bad day. And I was like, no, what is happening? I was like, dude, it's been months now. Relax.
That's fuckboy level, like, 3. Like, he hasn't graduated to, but like, now, future level fuckboy.
Yeah. And, like, even some of my close comic friends, like, they've been like, hey, so there's this girl. She was the first girl that, like, you know that person. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Like, explain it. And it's just been like, they're like, that one heartbreak, it really fucks you guys over.
Oh, man. I was fucking like 18.
Oh, wow.
I'm 32. I'm still learning things from that 18-year-old girl.
Wait, so this is what I've realized. I, in my meditation today, my like most severe heartbreak was this guy that I was like, oh, I'm going to get married to him. And it was like a really like emotionally like abusive like relationship and sometimes other abusive types. And I still, and that was like, we ended it at 26, I'm 31 now. And I was like, oh my God, my fear of commitment is still so linked to him. And I'm like, how does one get over it?
How me and Amama bonded, I think. That was the same type of relationship. I'd just gotten out of, like, broken off an engagement 2 years ago. And then we were talking in a green room and she gave me a crystal. And
I've since stopped giving out crystals.
And the healing began. I'm now carrying on that tradition for you. Yeah, I'm giving people crystals.
I never got a fucking crystal. So.
I used to get fucking wasted. It was like, what's wrong with your life? Do you need like an amethyst? Like in the most white girl way possible.
Also, it does sound like we're talking about crystal meth. People have asked for the record, we're talking about actual.
That was probably going to be a little bit more helpful for most people. Yeah.
Honestly.
You've upgraded to crystal meth.
Now I've upgraded to like being like, do you guys want to do like drugs together and psychedelics open our minds?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like my next step in my journey.
True.
So fun.
Yeah. Just to like analyze what you're like, that one heartbreak. I just want to be what was it? What was.
Just end up laughing so hard. I'm like, this is going to be spiritual. And then I'm like, hats are weird.
I got nothing done on shrooms. I got nothing done. I definitely like just cleared like the cache of your mind. That's all it is. Yeah. It's kind of like you just kind of get the chance to empty out.
Reset a little bit.
Feel exactly what you want to feel. And whatever you feel in that moment, I think is usually pretty real. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you went into a shroom trip questioning, like, do I love my partner? And then at the end, the whole time you're just thinking, I love my partner. And it's like, well, shit. This shit might be real. I think that's the only way I could clear anything.
So my goal right now is to microdose. I'm on like a very heavy like spiritual journey right now. But it's kind of, but like that is my next step. And I was like, oh, if I microdose... I don't really do work for work, and my day job's boring. So I just want to like go and like just like see like for a week. I just want to do
now
it. Like
fuck that, jump in.
All right,
yeah.
Fuck that. Okay. That microdose.
Yeah,
shit,
it doesn't do.
You're
shit.
Gonna you're gonna not respect it because you're gonna be like, right. Oh, this is so manageable.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a blunt
and no,
a
drain. Full in.
No.
That's
no,
true.
You got to go full in.
I'm gonna make some shroom tea then.
No. Eat that shit raw.
Yeah. Oh no. Last time I ate it raw, I made me wanna.
Watch your mouth. But yeah. I don't know.
Do you do anything else for like your mental health?
I rest a lot as much as I possibly can. Mostly because like you guys know I'm coming from Pennsylvania a lot of times. So I'm like doing a lot of driving.
Are you living there?
I have been for the pandemic.
Oh. You know, is that where you're from?
That's where I'm originally from.
Okay.
From the Poconos. So, you know, I've been driving an hour and a half back and forth. So, you know, I'm trying to rest a little more because, you know, we're getting older.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to be doing the same thing when I was, like, 22, like, driving from, like, Boston to Philly and, like, one day and then going to Reading to do a show. You know what I mean? And, like, feeling nothing. But now I do that and I'm ready to die.
Damn.
So,
did you drive to Philly for this podcast?
Oh, hell no. I drove from the Poconos, which is about an hour and a half.
Okay.
But I got a bunch of shows in the city.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. That's why when I had asked you, I was like, we could also do it over Zoom because now, I know, like, yeah.
I like being in the city a little early, you know what I'm saying? Get to do some civilian shit, you know?
Yeah. I remember now that you say we did a Zoom show together and you were in the Poconos and you were making jokes about, like, you were in your parents' house something. So that's so funny.
It's like, been a while. Nobody thought it would be like this. So, like, when we first moved there, I thought I would be there like 3 weeks, a month. You know, like with Ebola, like
right.
You know, when SARS came around,
it didn't even reach us. We're
it didn't
like,
even bother us.
I didn't
or
remember
swine
it.
Flu.
I was
like, remember swine flu?
Foot and mouth.
Yeah,
we had scurvy. So many pandemics in my childhood. I'm like, this will be over soon. This is just a good one, you know.
Yeah. This is like one that tried extra hard.
You know what I'm saying? This is the A student of pandemics.
This one really hung on. Yeah,
and then this bitch held on.
Yeah.
So. You know, we ended up being there for 2 years.
It's like a bad,
but to be
bad
honest,
ex that won't leave you.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Moves into the neighborhood.
I also think, like, so the show, we did Barbershop, like, last week, I think, together.
Yeah, yeah.
So Remy Kasmer also, like, came by, and she was talking about how she was just going to, like, chill in Portland. And I was like, that's actually really cool because, and what we talked about, like, one thing that the pandemic taught us was, like, this type of hustle is just not, like the New York City type, you don't have to do
you
it.
Don't have to.
You can actually be successful. And I've been thinking a lot about like, well, where do I want to move for a little bit now? And like, where do I want to like center myself? And
where are you originally from? Boston?
No, so I started comedy there, but I grew up in New York.
Oh, okay.
And then I was a high school teacher. So I went to Providence to teach and I started comedy there. I've had many jobs and like different lives.
It's icky like, when I found out like comics that have like real life jobs past and just like, ew.
I went to grad school. I worked in a prison. I've had like multiple in my head, like lives are the things that I've like thought I was gonna do.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I like continuously am always like, well, what's next? What's next? Like, I can't stay in one place for a long time.
Hell yeah.
Did you have like anything like career going before?
I was
gonna
be a school therapist, school psychiatrist. See, I can't even say it anymore.
Wow.
You're gonna
you
give
haven't
the
been to therapy?
Have never been to therapy.
Oh,
I feel like
God.
You'd be a great therapist for kids.
Because I think it was that easy.
You'd be like, you want some weed?
No, my nigga. Absolutely. But I mean, like, I dropped out of that lane of thinking after like my first year of college. I went straight to education. Then I graduated with sociology. So you see my train of thinking kind of went downward. Like, it's not important. I don't really care. I'm going to do comedy. You know what I mean? So sociology is what I left with. But I don't know, man. Like, I was a car salesman. I done a whole bunch of terrible things. Mm-hmm. But nothing like teacher. Ew.
Only the most respected job.
What are you, a nurse?
Okay, yeah. Do you guys want to hear something really stupid? So last night I was telling... there was a comic who had a shirt that said the Jonas Brothers. Mm. And I was like, oh, when I was a teacher, I went to a One Direction concert. and it was in Providence. I fucking loved One Direction. I was also 23 years old.
What are you saying? You're within your range of these children?
Like, I was like 5 years older, so I was like, oh my God, I love One Direction. And all of my teacher friends, we all went. And there were some students who were like a few rows up, and they were like, Miss Sardar? And I was like, I'm 23. I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to drink. I don't give a fuck. But it was so much fun.
You defended it because you knew it was a little creepy.
It was a little weird because it is weird to be like, I like this band too.
You were screaming with the same 15-year-old girls.
16 to 17, okay? We're still...
Is it Harry Styles in One Direction?
Yeah, but it wasn't... It was like some of the songs were like
every
so
time you
cool.
took his shirt off, they screamed and you screamed together.
It was me and all the dads getting drinks because we were the only ones who could buy alcohol. So I was just like...
They were very uncomfortable around you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They could not place your age.
No, they really couldn't.
They're like, can I hit on this a woman.
What's the most embarrassing concert you've been to?
Tina Turner.
Wait, what?
Is that embarrassed?
I haven't been to many concerts, but I mean, if you said, look, Courtney, you're going to go to this Tina Turner concert, does that sound really like what Courtney's going to do?
Probably not. Yeah.
But I went with my mom and dad. It was really cute. I haven't been to a lot of concerts, but Tina Turner, I'll never forget it. Like, she was 70-odd years old. Thick thunder thighs still rolling, bro. I was like the performance of a lifetime. I'm
damn.
Like, this is amazing. I cannot tell anybody I was here. for at least 15 years till my masculinity came.
Now, this is the time to come out with everything. You can,
I'm coming out
this
the closet,
is a safe
man.
Come out of the Tina Turner closet. This is a safe space. You can cry. You can talk about Tina Turner.
Yeah, let's make you cry. Let's
you don't want that.
I'm kind of scared with like men who haven't cried in a while and if you like release that, it's like we might just like open up the floodgates to stuff that we can't turn it off. But
I'm pretty well adjusted because I talk a lot, even if it's just to myself. I don't know if I should be like admitting that, but like I talk to my girlfriend or whatever. I'm always talking. So it's like if I have ever had a thought that didn't come out, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that like kind of makes sense because most of the dudes I know are also like they have either someone to talk to. And I like just word vomit to them now. I like send long paragraphs of my thoughts and I'm like, all right, I got them out.
Oh, you think we read that? But yes.
I'm like, I just journal if I need to.
Like, then my heart thinks.
I send voice note rants sometimes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's insanely personal. We definitely hear that. We definitely listen to
not too many, like, no. It's usually Sabine and I will do that sometimes. I know you hate voice messages.
I only do it if I can't text.
I just find texting kind of tedious sometimes. So I'll either do just the voice to text or do a voice memo. Mm. But there's certain people that just communicate through voice memos. And so I used to hate it.
A lot of people do.
I have a rule. I'm like, if you're going to send me a voice memo, it has to be under a minute.
Yeah.
Mm. But then I'll get 10 in a row of like 1 minute. See, I'm not listening to a set here.
There's like times where I've had to tell people like, hey, I'm not going to listen to these. I just want you to know in advance. But
you
that's
give me
it.
A little footnote.
Yeah,
what's happening in part 10?
wait, you were talking about. I'm curious. You said you can go back and be whoever in whatever time before.
Oh.
Yeah, can you? Because that just sounds. Interesting to me.
Yeah, like you know, not to sound like I'm constantly smoking DMT. Because I know this conversation is going to sound like, you can be what you want.
We love those combos.
I'd love, yeah.
But like, all right, so like, I don't try to keep up with like certain styles or anything like that. I just remember when I was most comfortable was like 2008, 2009, where it was just right when the jeans came up to your waist, just then, like not like falling off, but not before they were like, grabbing your Johnson, you know what I mean? So like in that same essence, you know, you can choose to live when you were most comfortable.
Ooh.
So it's like, how were you at that time? Like you might be a different person than you were when you were 25, when you were most comfortable, which was might be free and whatever. Go back to living that way. Right now you probably have a little more money. So it's a little more feasible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we were all broke at 25. I don't know about you at the end, but yeah.
Yeah, I moved here with no money. I got like three jobs. I moved here for grad school. Had like, and I'm in tons of debt.
One of those times, you were your happiest, perhaps.
Honestly, I think like around 26. Like no, when I first moved here. What?
I was going to say the same age. I was like around 26, 27.
Right. I think that's when you start figuring stuff out a little bit more. That's when I started being happier. But when I first moved to New York, I was like 21. I was yeah, ecstatic. I was so happy, even though I was like broke as shit.
Exactly.
I was ecstatic.
Yeah. If you choose to go live that way right now and like as a 30-odd-year-old person, it's like, man, you might be fucking happy. I mean, I might have been skateboarding and I mean, not me personally, but whatever you did at that time to make yourself happy, you can go live that life, you know?
Yeah, so, I like that.
I'm 24 right now.
Mentally
24.
It kind of, because like I've recently been, I was like, oh, like a lot of people that I taught with are like married with kids.
Right.
That's actually not a life that I ever really want.
Right.
Maybe in terms of like marriage, like, yeah, if I find someone really dope, if I could find a partner, I'm cool with like just having them be my partner. And if they have good health insurance, I'm absolutely going to get married to them.
Yeah.
That's different.
You could just even have to get married, just do a domestic partnership.
Yeah, basically. But basically my thing lately has been like, I really don't want that. And but what I want is how, it's just, so when you said it, I was like, last night I was thinking about it and I was like, when I was 27, I felt a certain level of carefreeness because I had just really like gotten over.
Like you peaked.
Yeah. Yep. And it was like a level of happiness that I was like, wow, like I think I want to go back to feeling that way. And maybe like, I don't know how, but this makes sense of being like, I think I can, I can. Mentally be like, no, like, what was I doing and how did I feel and how can I incorporate that?
I can recreate those better feelings and then use those better feelings to manifest something even greater than what I could have done at 25.
That's
so true.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I can use all of my, you are my therapist, and I can use all the things I've learned so far at 31.
I mean, you know what's crazy? Opening my eyes to that a little bit. Like, I just took on a son, basically. He's 20 years old.
Explain.
I have a 20-year-old son. No, he's my little cousin, but like he's my littlest cousin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like he's my little boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Mind you, he's 6'4" now. And like I'm like taking him in a taking him in sense. And it's just been so stressful watching him be 20 and remembering me at 20, 21 years old and being like, I was this fucking stupid too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just trying to, I don't know, have those thoughts all day. I'm going to end up talking about this kid for the next hour and a half.
Do you have siblings? Like you have that kind of relation? Older, younger?
I have an older sister. Okay. I'm the baby. So, and you know, I try to tell her the same shit. You know, she's trying to find her happiness. She's like 2 years older than I am. And you know, that type of shit is like, hey, when were you happy? Try to figure it out. And then take some of those lessons and adapt them to your new body, your new self.
That's really amazing.
I smoke so much. Like, I smoked right before I got here.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, I'm a little high too. So right now I'm like, oh my God.
Everyone who's listening is going to literally be like, smoke.
Whoever's listening is like, this is kind of common, isn't it? Just think about when you're, You guys don't do that.
Also, I think like what helps me or just to remember, like when it comes to happiness is sometimes we have this idea of happiness that you have to be like, that feeling of ecstatic and excitement, but it's really just accepting yourself and being at peace with you are. It's just having that inner peace and
but being when you have that inner peace, then you start to feel some of those feelings more. And it's like, that's like what
I think that fear comes from looking far down the road. Like we're all, you know, 30-ish, right? And we're thinking like, I'm happy now, but like in 15 years, what if I don't have those things that I thought were important 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, you get stuck in that moment.
Yeah.
And then you're not doing what you just said, which is like kind of like being happy and satisfied with who you are and what you're doing. Yeah. So you start thinking about 15 years down the road, it gets blurry.
Yeah.
You
know?
True happiness isn't situational, you know, it's just accepting. Like I'm saying, like, that's why, like when people are like, well, when I get this, I'll be happy. Or when, and especially in our careers, like that tends to happen. Like people put their life on hold or their happiness on hold because they're waiting for something to come in and save them from themselves instead of realizing like, oh, actually, I can be happy right now, today. I don't need to like get a Netflix special. I don't need to whatever. Like,
because we've seen it not make people happy.
We've seen how many like famous comedians have killed themselves who have like
not and
how
also,
many of them are killing themselves right now?
Slowly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's also like, I saw someone post something that was like, look, like you probably are at a point right now that you have everything you wanted 5 years ago.
Right.
And to be honest, like when I was like being like, oh, like I don't get it. Like, why don't I have X, Y, and Z? But now I'm like, dude, when I moved to New York, I was like, I can't wait to just like be easily like booked on certain things or like have relationships with certain people. It's like, wait, I have that. Why am I being such a bitch?
5 years
I
ago.
Remember. Yeah. My goal was just to not have to do open mics.
Yeah.
Every night.
That's the,
and I'm
yeah.
like, oh, that's amazing.
I, as soon as I got to there, I'm just like, well, I'm easily satisfied.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a dope thing where it's like, if I can appreciate now, then like whatever's coming next, at least I'll be happy when
100%.
I, 'cause like I was like in this mind frame of like, I would get cool things and I was like, oh, but like I didn't get what this person had. It's like, that's stupid.
Are you, you guys are first generation immigrants,
yeah.
right? Right.
Yeah. So the pressure is like a lot more.
I think what that gives us though is a little bit of an advantage. 'Cause like your parents, I don't know about your families, but did they kind of grow you up in a like, no, we're still in, what do you say, Pakistan?
And Palestine.
And Palestine,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They, like, this house might be in New Jersey or
oh, Alabama.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Alabama.
They double down.
They
on
double
the,
down
this
on
house
it,
right
on
here is
yeah.
Jamaica. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like this shit that they grew up like saying, like, yo, you don't need this. Like, yes, your friend has a cell phone, but you'll be fine. You know right. what I mean? So it's just like learning to be happy even in those moments through childhood, which might have been difficult, you know what I mean? I think trained me now to be, like, satisfied with, like, not the bare necessities, but, like, the things I need. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, thank to God my parents have me set up in a place where I have a home. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, I don't know. I feel like happiness is just not worth, like, what did you say?
It's about being, acceptance. It's not situational. Accepted. It's not about circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about the moment. Because I've seen happy bums.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Happy as bums.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, probably all the DMT.
Definitely all the DMT.
Yeah, still give them yeah. still give them
they
money.
They found
though.
Their happiness.
They
yeah.
found their happiness.
It has a price.
But it also is like
a in a pipe.
Here's what I will say. The brokest people who I love to death will like, even like my friend Nicole sometimes will just like be like free, like I'll go grab like everyone like shots. I'll go grab everyone like drinks or whatever. And like, I know the richest people who like one time a girl was like, okay, so it's like $275 if we split this like four ways. And I remember being like, bitch, I would have just bought everyone everything.
Just don't be
not
a jerk.
Complained.
That
but
is,
it's like when
that
you
is
get
some immigrant stuff, though.
Yeah.
You are just kind people.
That's
you know what I mean? Like I'm an immigrant person too. Yeah. So just like even earlier when she was trying to buy me a coffee, I had to like wiggle out of it.
That was
right?
gonna be a whole fight, and then I was
I know.
Like,
oh, and I I immigrant judoed her, right? I said I then gave her a task and I said, okay, yeah. bring me a water. I didn't ask for it. I said, bring me a water if you could. And that brought her back. It's like this polite judo of
yeah.
just like,
yep.
I would like to do something for you. I don't want you to do. I'm going to ask you four more times.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah.
And it's beautiful. And
it
you
is.
Don't ever get that with Americans.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I
really
I
don't.
Just learned, which I should have known. I guess it's an Arabic Farsi word. It's called ta'aruf. And it's a whole etiquette around that, like, you got to offer something multiple
oh,
times. And then the person says no at first. And then you have to, like, keep going. And then in our culture, too, it's like, sometimes, like if I've gone on dates with, like, Arab men, like, they'll be insulted if I try to pay. But then I'm like, it's just like a whole, so then you, I don't know how far to push the.
I thought about it all the way back. And I'm just like, I am such an immigrant. I couldn't just say, yes, buy me a juice.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know. It's going to be difficult for you to leave this line, come to this line to get the coffee I want. That feels like a dick move for me. And she was just like, I am committed to doing it.
I know. I'm
and
like,
I'm
you're
just
our
like,
guest.
And I'm just like, buy me a fucking water.
That's the other thing. It's like, you're the guest.
You're the guest.
Yeah.
100%. But like, it was polite on polite. You can't
yeah.
beat that
fight.
Shit.
Yeah, it's so wild because like, it is like Americans really.
They miss it.
They really miss it. Which is like, one of my friends came to visit. And only recently I was like, oh yeah, like I was really like severely depressed that weekend. And he was like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, you're like one of my closest friends. Like I could have talked you through it. And I was like, well, you're my guest. You were visiting. And he was like, you also paid for everything. And I was like, yeah, you were my guest. You were visiting. And he was just like, that's wild to me. And I was like, yeah, because you hang around with a lot of white people.
You know?
And maybe you should get some more minority friends.
Oh my God.
Seriously. At least like we have this understanding and that way like we don't take advantage of one another.
Yeah.
We understand it's hospitality.
Yeah.
But when you do it with like white people and then they're just like,
yeah,
don't fight you back on it. Like,
yeah,
like
at
all.
So
oh, no,
weird.
They add shit. It's like, can I get you a water? Oh, yeah, I would love one with melon. It's like, bitch.
Yeah.
Ain't no fucking melon in this house. What are you trying to say?
it's honestly like, that's a really good point. But I also, again, like, that's why I love anyone who's also grown up like, because poor white people will also like be like, oh no, no, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, all right, like no, no, we'll figure it out.
Like, I was taught not to eat in anybody's house.
Yes,
oh my God,
you know what I mean.
You had to like look at your parents if someone offered something to be like,
is
can
it okay?
I?
Right. Yeah. Oh my God,
you remember the string things? Do y'all remember string things? The wrapper, like it was like came in like a little tray. It was like this fruit gummy snack. Doesn't worry about it. My parents never bought me that shit. I went next door. And my friends gave me one.
It's like a fruit roll-up thing?
It's like a fruit roll-up
with the stringy
thing.
Yeah.
It's like
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Fruit
yeah.
by the foot.
Oh,
yeah. Is that
no,
it?
It's the same
similar.
Family.
Yeah.
But
anyway, yeah.
So I go next door, my friend gives me one, and I forget it's in my pocket. My parents find it. I'm still in New York, so I'm less than 8 years old. I got an ass whooping that I'm sure the neighbors heard.
Oh my God.
They're like, they'll never give him a string candy again. Never again will you eat.
I would get lectured. So anytime we went to anyone's house for dinner, the whole ride was a lecture. So
yes.
Here, you never ask for anything. If they ask you if you're hungry, no, you are not hungry.
I was going to say, like, let's be serious though. Some of those things really did fuck us up in the long run.
Yeah.
Of course. But
we're
like,
unlearning them.
Because like even, well, one thing I like is like, as someone came to my house, my mom was always like, guests eat first. And then it was just like a polite thing to do. And like, if I ever went to a white person's house, they would just be like pouring themselves a plate. And I was like,
you want
okay.
Some?
Yeah.
No, I don't anymore.
Or like, oh, if you want to help yourself. Or like, they'll start eating in front of you and not offer. And you're like, I'm just cooking dinner for myself. And I'm like, what?
I actually, I have
okay.
So we not
I literally will, if I'm dating someone and they don't do simple things like offer me like a water when I get to their home, I'm like, who raised you?
Ooh, what about this? They come to your house with a bag of fast food.
Oh, yeah. There, and don't like, ask, hey,
don't
I'm stopping
anything.
By.
Don't
do you
offer
want
nothing. Don't say nothing about coming to bring it. They just say, hey, so what are we doing? Popeyes on your table.
No.
Even if
you had like one piece of chicken, you have to like offer it.
Offer a
first.
Morsel.
Yeah.
You like split like a little wing with someone. Yeah. If it's you're like, no, you have one part, I'll have the other.
No, I like the crispy part that's mostly bone. For me, you guys
I'll just have the skin.
Yeah.
That's like what I'm really realizing nowadays. Like if I do go on a date, is like how people like I don't care. It's like, oh yeah, if you pay for whatever, but it's like if I go to your house. And you don't even have the decency to be like, hey, like, are you hungry? Do you need anything? Or you're just like snacking without asking. I'm like, who the fuck raised you? Yeah.
Wolves.
Like, you did not get beat up enough acting like this.
Man.
Well, we actually are going to talk about relationships. We do have a segment called 50 Shades of Brown where you give relationship advice to one of our listeners' questions.
Oh, nice.
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
4 years. 4 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Great.
I mean, you know.
Where'd you guys, meet, like, just, like, with, like, comedy stuff?
Yeah, we met in Philly. And, you know, kind of moved up here around the same time. And then, boom.
She's a comic or no?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right,
so what's this...
This
Is this like a comics question or is this
regular
listener?
Just regular listener, yeah.
Nice.
It could be a comic, but we don't know. Imagine if it's just like one comic.
It's Fumi. Hey.
So I moved to LA recently. okay, so this one. My boyfriend and I have known each other for 8 years. He's never really done anything for my birthday. Mm. The night before my actual birthday, I was crying because I felt that I had no one and I was all alone. And the
is
day
this
of,
my girlfriend?
And the day of my, the day of my birthday, he texts me telling me what he was going to do, an outside date with roses, but tells me he was unable to get things situated that day, and he would do it tomorrow. All he did was text me happy birthday, no card, no candy, no flower. We ended up going to just some restaurant. He's not broke, blah, blah, blah. The next day... he went to go play basketball with his friends, even though he promised that he would take me out to dinner, and he never did. He's saying, so she told him my feelings, and she said that her feelings are hurt, and he told me I was overreacting for no reason. I honestly don't know what to say or how to feel. What should I do?
Fuck. All right, so I'm going to lose my relationship over this. But this is more important. Where I stand on, like, celebrating birthdays, am I a Jehovah's Witness? No. But, like, I don't really celebrate anything. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not now, in your own birthday?
My own birthday, not even. Like, and that, I think I had one birthday party when I was a kid. I was 10, and it was a roller rink. It was terrible. And I'm born in January, so it was really a sucky month.
January what?
January 17th.
Are you a Capricorn?
1989, yep.
Yeah, you're you're like on the cusp of Capricorn, Aquarius. I'm January 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa, I think my grandpa's the 19th. He's an Aquarius.
Yeah, yeah. He's like on, right on the cusp, yeah.
So like, you know, I'm not really a hype guy. But like, if this guy is, let's say, celebrating you every day, which is a different scenario. Like I don't give a shit if you don't celebrate me on Wednesday, my birthday, if every day I feel loved and celebrated. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now
it seems like she doesn't, though.
Right. Right. That's why I said if. I put that caveat of if. Yeah. I said,
we
now,
were like, shut the fuck up.
Now this guy in particular sounds like a little stretch of an asshole.
Yeah.
To where he might, cause I mean, he's hooping the next day. Like there's no remorse. Yeah. There's no like makeup. Like I know when I fuck up. I do something to try to fix it. I pay for the gas. I pay for the dinner. Like one time I left my credit card at home, my cards at home, and she had to pay for this. Like it was my idea. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's go out to this really nice restaurant and like get, because I just started eating fish and stuff like that. I'm going to get a nice plate of fish. We're going to have like two fish dinners. I'm going to give you some shellfish. It was like a $200 bill.
Damn.
And then I start doing the Macarena.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
You don't have pockets. You're just checking your whole body.
Oh, shit.
Pat down.
You know what I'm saying? Going through my hair. Oh, can you pay? You know, the most emasculating thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're together for 4 or 5 years, so it's not a big fucking deal. But, like, you know, it's still emasculating. For the next 4 or 5 days, I'm like, well, we have $150 here, $60 here. I'm making that
shit up.
Right. You know what I mean?
You're like, doing the math in your head.
It's like, I'm not necessarily going to give you $200 back, but I am making it up. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a difference between like a jackass that's not going to show any kind of remorse for fucking up and somebody who's just like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I love you every day. I don't see the need in like I bought you some sneakers yesterday. So what if today's your birthday? You know what I'm saying? A hug and a kiss should be enough. But if she's deliberately asking for more, and he's not, and he's deliberately not giving more, then there is a problem.
I think that's what it is. If you've made your needs like, or, you know, known, and you're like, this is really important to me that we celebrate my birthday, and then they don't do that. I had my ex do something similar. I'm not like a huge birthday person. Like I usually try to go away from my birthday and just like not even be here and whatever. But I was just like, and he had like fucked up really bad, like really bad. And I was like, can you just like maybe like make reservations and then he didn't do that. So I made reservations and I was like, could you pick up the like cupcakes for my friend? He didn't do that. And he, the one or two times like he got me a gift, it was just like an unwrapped like Best Buy. It was like, here's a Fitbit.
He just like found it.
And I made him like and on his birthday, I baked him a Nutella cake, which is his favorite. I made a card. Like I put like thought into it. And I didn't really expect that in turn, but it's like, don't be like the one thing I asked you to do.
Yeah.
That was so easy. Pick up the phone and just call this bar that I also picked and just told you like, hey, so birthdays aren't even like that big of a deal, but it just depends on, it's all about at the end of the day, you're making your needs known and that person is not coming through. So there's like a greater issue. So how does this play out in the rest? Does this play out in the rest of the relationship in different ways? So.
Yeah, that's how, because like I used to be a big birthday person and I loved it. Mm. And then I think it was like the birthday I had with my ex that like was really fucked up. And like, he was just like trying to like fight a lot of it, and it was, and I was also being an ass, and after that I was like, I just go away from my birthday because I hate it. But like,
well, that's a shame, because that tells me that you were a birthday person up until that point, and that point crushed who you were before.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You shouldn't allow it to.
I know
that's just that situation, that season is over.
Yeah,
right?
You are right, but it is a thing that like, it's funny because I do just go away. But one thing that like my friend this year did, she and like, she grabbed like a few of the bartenders that, I'm always around, And they just like took me to a bar and she was like, I know you hate birthdays, but she was like, I think it's for a stupid reason.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's because of some stupid ass
white
boy.
That's what I was saying really politely.
Yeah. Like yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking stupid.
Well, yeah. she was like, you're doing it because of a stupid ass white boy. So,
he was white.
I know. There was.
That's why he got no gift.
Yeah. He was like, babe, I got a cake. But like after that, like this year it was so nice because I was like, no, I really hate my birthday. But like, everyone like came out with like little things that I love, and I almost like cried, and I was like, "Wait, I
do like this shit."
Yeah, so it's like if you do like it, it's cool that you like it, and then you just have to let the other person know. And like if my person loved birthdays, I would do whatever they wanted because it's like that's something that they love, and I care about that.
Yeah, but you know,
I'd be like, "Grow the fuck up,
men yeah. do not
myself. We're stupid, and we are sometimes trying to." I'm going to speak for myself. I'm sometimes trying to force my will on somebody where it's just like, hey, you know it's not that important. Because in the fucking reality, it's not that important. It's just a day. The sun rotated 365 times.
Right.
You've
But
aged.
You're alive.
Who gives a shit? You were alive yesterday. I was more happy yesterday. I'm in a bad mood today. So, like, this is how I feel. This is how it's playing out.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, like you said, if somebody's saying, like, this is important to me, and I've been this guy. I've been this fucking guy, like, actually fucking up. I didn't make the call. I didn't. Do the this and I didn't do the that. So it's just like learning from that is what's important. So hopefully it's been 8 years though. Look, bruh.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. I think like it's been such a long time that he's probably like, oh, whatever. Like we've done this. Because it's also like in the beginning of a relationship, if you really like let certain things be like, no, I'm fine with it.
Just let them slide from the beginning. Yeah.
Then you just like be open about what you care about.
But also, all right, my parents have been together for 40 odd years. On my dad's birthday, my dad might get a pineapple cake. Right?
Yeah.
A pineapple upside down cake. That's his thing. My mom might get a plant, if that. And is literally.
Immigrants are different,
though. You know what
I'm saying? They don't even know their real birthday. They came
to
like.
My dad does not know his real birthday.
My dad doesn't either.
That's probably why birthdays aren't big.
That's like, they really don't. Like, when I first asked my dad, I was like, when we were born, he was like, well, you know, when we came here, we said a day. And I was like, wait, what?
I was doing the vaccines. Not like, I'm not a nurse, but like I was doing like the registrations for people taking the vaccine. And when I tell you every single African male was born 12/31. 19, whatever the fuck. 12/31. I'm just like, bro.
Yeah, two of my uncles.
Like your entire family was fucking in like August or whatever.
Right. It's like, we just picked a day.
They picked a day.
That's so funny.
It's true.
12/31. I'm like, y'all not even trying.
I just like, I don't care so much about gifts. I like the thoughtfulness of it.
Right.
Like my dad writes a poem for all of us on our birthdays.
Whoa,
and for my mom.
That's so nice.
And in Arabic, on the fly, he comes up with stuff. He's so good. So I did that for my friend who was a poet.
I was going to say, my dad always texts me 3 days before my birthday. He's like, is it today?
My dad forgot everyone except for my 21st birthday.
That's
because we went out to drink. Okay.
That's really nice, though. That's really thoughtful.
It is. So I like those kind of gestures.
Yeah,
I don't
beautiful.
Care about gifts. Yeah. I care about gestures.
And I think
really
it's all about how you're raised and coming up, that how you want to be treated as an adult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were literally like cherished and the world revolved around you on your birthday every year, you want that treatment from your partner or the people in your life when you're an adult. But it's like, yo, you're not a fucking kid anymore. So sometimes you gotta make your own happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
and if you want a unicorn, go get your own fucking unicorn. Yeah. Am I cursing at myself?
No, I think that's like a really good point. Plus, like, again, like if you're with someone for a really long time and it feels like, oh, they're not like being thoughtful, it's like, I think there's other things wrong and you should like really figure out.
But also,
like,
there's a bit of been there, done that after 8 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many times are we gonna go to Fogo de Chao? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we did it.
I just need someone to, like, confess their undying love for me on my birthday. That's about it. Just be like, just tell me you love me.
Just propose to me on my birthday.
That's wild.
Do not do that.
Like, oh, I forgot your birthday.
I
gotta wait another year.
Wait, the other reason I hated my birthday was because that was, like, our anniversary date.
I
know.
Oh, okay.
So I just realized that.
You didn't rip that scab for me and show me that.
Whoa, okay.
Huge. That's
huge. Wow, that just, like... Okay, I guess like next year.
You gotta kill that guy.
Yeah.
New anniversary.
Show up at his house with a shotgun.
Murder.
Like, hey, bitch.
My thing too is like I try to make like new memory. Like if there's something like a day that has like a, you know, whatever, a negative connotation, something that hurt me. I try to do something different on that. If it sticks, the date, I try to do something different.
Girls do so much fucking thinking.
Yeah, it does.
That's why we're healthier, I think, mentally.
I don't know. I don't think I am, but
I think I'm getting there.
Are we overthinking it?
Yeah, overthinking it. It's just like you have to do with it because now you're literally commemorating this thing at the same time. It's like to pick that day to do something different is just putting a building on top of a building, to be honest.
Then
that's what you need to do.
That's why I think
I know guys get a lot of slack for like not going to therapy and shit, but to be honest, like I'm learning a lot from a lot of them being like,
Let it go. You guys are so good at that. It's so annoying.
Eventually
it'll get over. Like for instance, right? You have a breakup, right? If you just allow your body to go through the natural thing of, yo, every day I think of this guy. Every day I think of this guy. And that'll go 3 months. And then it'll be every 3 days I think of this guy. And every 4 days I think of this guy. Until, what's this guy's name?
Yeah.
Guess what you're doing every time you go, and another thing, you're going back.
You're putting yourself back to that one day, every day thing.
That's why it's like stop to not talk about someone is like a big,
huge,
important thing. Like, of course, like when you go through something bad, talk about it.
I mean,
like,
you're
going to
die
out
a lot sooner is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very stressful technique of burying and compartmentalizing.
Well, I don't,
but
yeah.
It makes my day better.
To be honest, well, this is what I've been thinking a lot about because like, I'm like, why are all of the men in my life like after something like, really bad
traumatic.
Of like a they're just like, well, you know, I found love again. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that? And it is like a lot of them, like, because I've been talking to them and
some
they're like,
some of them are lying.
But it's a masquerade to get to the next point. Yeah, and they're just like, you'll think about it here and there, but like, you know, like if someone, one of my friends was like, you know, like I'm just kind of used to it. Like when you get rejected, like as a man, you're, you just have to be like, all right, like these are healthy men, not like the fucking psychotic men who get rejected, who are like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, which is a lot of them, which is a lot. Yeah. But it is like a lot of my friends are like, you just let it go and it'll be okay. And I'm like, no, but I must not let it go.
But obviously you can't do something. You can't do anything to change somebody's mind.
No.
I mean, relationship, business, whatever. It's like if they made up their mind and it's like personal, then the more you push, the more they're going to feel like, no, now I'm going to not do what you want to spite you. You know what I mean? So it's nothing you can ever really do.
Yeah.
So it's better off just saying like, okay.
That's what I want to get to. So
DMX said, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If not, you'll never know. Yeah.
Whoa.
DMX
quoted
somebody else, but it's DMX.
He said you only lose what you cling to.
Yeah.
Wait.
Let that shit go.
I'm all high. If you love,
you've never heard this quote before.
I've heard like if you love something, let it go. But I haven't heard the second part of.
If you love something, let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
If it comes back to you, it's yours. If not, you'll never know.
Oh and yeah, if just, not, you'll never. That's
you just never know. And then what does it hurt? Right. You're going to work tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Damn. Well, DMX.
DMX, huh?
Words to live by. All right, so Courtney, we've got one last segment for you.
Thanks.
Called Keeping Up with the Caucasians.
I've been living amongst them for the last year.
I was going to say, how do Poconos? They feel about...
Yeah.
Oh my God, so many Trump signs in my neighborhood.
They must be like, that gentleman over there.
Actually, we've been there longer than most of them crackers. I mean, whites. Can I be racist here?
Is it racist?
No, we don't believe that you could be racist against white people.
They know what they've done.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Here at the no-fly list, we don't believe that racism
I'm pretty sure we've alienated all of our white listeners.
Yeah,
nobody's
ever had any.
Yeah, we do. I know we have a few just because, like, people...
We love you guys and our producers.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
I'm pretty sure, like, we're radicalizing Adam to be like, so I'm sorry he's going to hear this, but we're definitely, like, every week he's probably like, motherfuckers.
We are bad people.
he's like going to meetings. He's like, I'll tell you about these people there. I'm kidding.
My uncle lives and he was at the insurrection.
This is a side note. My cousin works at the ACLU and they have like different, like they have like a white caucus meeting where they all talk about white issues. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And then
that seems illegal.
So they had to, and I was like, that can't be your thing. And then they had to create like another one for POCs.
No, that's insane. Cause we joke about having that meeting all the time. Like, we're having a meeting. And they're like, oh yeah? well, we were really having a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really having a meeting to discuss.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's insane.
Wait, that's what I would teach for America. So they used to have these affinity groups based on race because a lot of like a lot of us were like, hey, this organization's like really fucked up and we don't feel comfortable with like all these like rich ass white people in this organization. And then the white people got so upset. They were like, we need our own group. And they had to give them their own group, which I think I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? I was like, let me listen.
You are the group. Yeah. You are the majority.
And they literally would like go to the group and like
your voice
cry.
Is heard.
Yeah. They would be like, we just
too much
under attack. And I was like, let me sit in that group for a little bit.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'll show them under attack.
The fragile white is
white fragility. It's a thing. Yeah. Okay. So Courtney, these are the categories that we have for you to choose from.
Already.
And then I'll pick something to throw at you from these categories. So we've got food, pop culture, activities, style and clothes, phrases or sayings, and miscellaneous.
I got to pick three? Or
whatever three? One. Oh. Just pick one and then I'll
Let me get phrases.
Phrases. Okay. Yeah.
It's two ways to skin a cat. That's pretty white.
Oh, that is pretty white. It's
okay.
Disgusting, isn't it? What are you skinning cats for?
Have you talked in text, like saying LOL or OMG or BRB? Have you done that?
Yeah, I have. I have. Quite often.
Ironically or seriously or like, do you even notice it?
No,
like,
I don't even notice it. It's very prominent in my life. But I'm a millennial. I feel like we've blurred the racial line in LOL.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do OMG. Cause that's a little that's a little girly, you know. OMG, you can't say OMG without going OMG.
You have to like go up and off.
You gotta go up. I so
I do the OMG. I like it started off jokey.
As a joke. Yeah, same.
I started LOL as a joke. I remember on my MySpace they said, "What's your most overused acronym or whatever?" And I was just like LOL. And then I did a whole little bit and I'm like 15. I'm very proud of it. Y'all should probably look it up. It's like LOL every other sentence. LOL. Have I said LOL? Right? And it was a joke. And from then on, I could not stop saying LOL. So it's part of my lexicon now.
All right.
Yeah. I honestly, because it started off as a joke too. And now sometimes I'm like LOL and I have to be like, mama, no.
Oh, wait. You mean out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no. No.
Talk and text.
Talk
like,
and
out
text.
Loud.
Oh, no. I thought you meant texting.
No.
Like that.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're saying LOL, BRB, guys.
Oh, absolutely
BRB.
Not. I is full Negro. I'm sorry. No.
Okay.
I was like, I haven't heard him.
We
say
were about to revoke your black card.
Yeah. I had a guy to cut up and be like,
you walk out. You're now just white.
I'm just white. It's just like, hey, my name is.
We have a bouncer right outside the studio just waiting.
Jason, take his shit.
Like, yeah, sir, yeah. Please remove
his
the Chicago Bulls
Courtney.
Jersey.
I mean, come on.
I have never said an acronym or even said laugh. No. No.
Okay.
Really?
I said no.
I have. Wow. It started off as a joke of me
it
just
starts,
joking.
That's
yeah.
how it starts.
I was like, haha. Well,
when
now
you guys
like
make that joke, I'm popping your hand because we have to stop this behavior.
I know. I notice it now, and it's just gotten more and more egregious with different like BRB, LOL, or like I don't know, just dumb shit.
I'll allow it for girls because you guys play with each other like that. But like, if Norlix Bellma came up to me like, LOL. Hey, bro, where you going? I'm BRB. I'm going to be like, bro, lose my number. Wait, I don't like how you've changed.
YT.
I just like, I can't even imagine Norlix. That would be
okay, what
so
about,
great.
What about, I haven't said this one, but it kind of bothers me when people say BT dubs.
I slept.
Oh, no, no. I've never
BT
said
dubs?
BT dubs.
What does that mean?
BTW,
by the way.
By the way.
And then they took that.
I want to get violent. that was my initial
It's so
reaction.
Funny because when you first said I do, I was like, this is so strange.
Yeah, I was like, this is weird.
I was like, yeah, people get text that. That's pretty cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, no.
But if they're talking BRB,
I don't think I've said B.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever said BRB. I did hear a young white girl say that at the Tiny Cupboard to someone. She was like 23 and she was like, well, whatever, BRB. And I was like,
I've said it. I'm sorry.
I will allow it if it's in a joke. But like you said, it becomes real.
Then you forget.
Yeah.
You forget that you're joking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I was joking about that have now become my like part of me. And I'm like, this is what I get.
Like I remember spelling what, WAT, just as a joke. And when I tell you, like, most of my college papers had the word what, W-A-T, and I, every time I went through it, it's just like, ah, I'm stupid.
Well, now, like, even in emails, I have to, like, def instead of definitely, oh, and God, I have yeah, to be yeah, like, yeah. Oh, my God, don't do this.
See, yeah. I definitely white girl it up in text, for yeah. sure, but yeah. I cannot.
Verbally, you haven't said
I mean,
it.
I've got a solid beard. I'm a solid-sized man. If I'm just out here saying BRB in fucking Brooklyn.
I want you to try to slip that in and see if anyone notices.
I will be back on the podcast.
I'll Please be a completely keep us different posted. Person. Yeah, yeah.
You come back just like beaten up. You're like,
So guys, your little experiment didn't go so well.
Okay, so you win keeping up with the Caucasians.
Thank God. I was scared.
Yeah.
You passed.
Congratulations.
You passed.
Yeah, you're not white.
Congratulations.
We would have had to, yeah, that would have been a really rough rest of your day.
You get to keep your black card for another day.
I like how these brown girls just told me I can keep my black card.
We are the keepers of race. Yeah. Yeah, excuse
what
me.
What they don't know. Just actually, like white yeah. people own BET. These brown girls own black cards.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that? We're the gatekeepers. We got a whole filing cabinet.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We've actually, I feel
I see
like
Terry
should...
Crews is in the back. Yeah. You guys keep that on the wall? That's weird.
We have Stacey Dash.
Stacey Dash is right behind. We used to keep Stacey Dash up here, but she's not that impressive anymore.
No, I think I want to one day have like a white person here, and I just want to like go through our keeping up with the Caucasians and just be like, hey, like, do you do this? And be like, yeah, it's totally, yeah. And
there's a whole book called Shit White People Say and Do. And so this list, like people sometimes argue with me about the list. I'm like, no, there's a whole book. A white guy wrote it. Like,
yeah.
All these things. So like,
they wear boat shoes.
Oh, that's
oh,
on
my
there.
God, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, salmon shorts, all that.
Yep.
You know, there was a time back in about 2009 when I was my happiest, when black guys were like trying to like sway their clothes in that direction. Like, what's his name? Young Dro, like wearing the cashmere sweater over like a golf tee or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm so happy this doesn't catch on. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to see you black guys in these pink shorts.
No,
you
no,
know?
No. No one should be wearing pink shorts.
Not even and just boat the boat shoe look is so
no
obnoxious.
Socks.
Yeah, oh, it's also like you guys are like they don't. White people don't wash
y'all
themselves properly.
Right? Y'all not doing the proper foot care to wear no socks. I'm like, not doing the proper foot care to wear no socks.
I think it's so funny because I think like the most unhygienic people
just choose to do the wildest shit.
Are white people and they think that we're dirty, which is insane because immigrants are like so like
Wait,
clean,
brown people like wash their
obsessively because you don't want to be judged by other people
by our own people. We're the
most that's what I'm
Jamaicans. Yeah. Oh my God, if you go walk past a Jamaican and you're a little frowsy, meaning like you smell funny, bro, the whole block is gonna know.
Yeah,
they're gonna tell. Oh, what is wrong with him? You know, Shaw? You're just walking around thinking you're having a great day.
Yeah, you're going to hear about it. Yeah. Everyone's going to hear about it. Yeah.
Well, I hear they talk behind your back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Brown people fucking do that so much. And it is, like, when I was younger, like, my mom would be like, so, this auntie saw you wearing, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh,
I had this brown family live down the street from me, like, and I used to steal my dad's car, like, when I was, like, 14. And, like, so, like, I would drive past the entire neighborhood, feel no problem. All these white people, but this brown guy lived at the exit. And right by the exit, I was just beat by his house, hoping he didn't see me. Like, twice he told on me. And like three other times he came to me and pulled me to the side. It's just like, I seen that. I was like, you nosy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, they think that they're your parents too.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like you're part of the community.
Yeah.
So
I gotta. Him and my dad were cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I lived in an only all Pakistani neighborhood except for two houses.
Oh my God.
I couldn't do anything.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like
you were getting beaten by any of them.
Yeah,
anybody could beat you.
Wait, yeah, one time I literally, like, my aunt, like, slapped me, and I, like, came home, and I was like, did you know what she did? And my mom was like, what the fuck did you do? And I was like, oh, no.
Are you victim-blaming, Mom? Yeah. I was assaulted.
I was like, she's not even family, and my mom, like, slapped me, and she was like, you don't say that. And I was like, oh, my God, they're all against me.
When I lived in New York, I lived on a block like that where it was just, like, I actually had, like, my godfather lived a few houses up, but everybody else was my aunt and uncle, quote, unquote.
Right.
But they were just other Jamaican people.
Yeah.
Like, right.
That was my neighborhood.
That's all it took, just other Jamaicans. And then, like, anywhere I went, like, if I wasn't allowed to go around the corner because that's where the Haitians lived. And they were anytime I went over there, the Haitians told the Jamaicans told my parents. It was like a telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's why I couldn't do anything in Alabama when I lived there. Like, there's, I was like, I gotta move to New York if I want to have a life.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I'll still get back to my mom.
I was just about to say, I was like, I'm going to Jackson Heights next week to like buy a sari for a wedding, and I was like, oh, should I have to wear jeans and a full sleeve t-shirt? Because I know any one of them will be like, I saw Shanaz's daughter just walking like around with her titty. Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's like, I can't. I'm 31 years old, and I'm like, I can't have my mom know.
No, man. See, you know what I do to break my parents? I've broken my parents' cool. Like, I just tell them graphic detail of any and everything I do.
Okay. You're a man.
You're a man. Yeah, that's like, a privilege.
That's
double
true.
Standard.
My sister probably
your sister?
Can't.
Yeah, there's no way.
My sister's going through it right now, actually. But like, I tell them, I'm like, yo, I smoke weed. And my dad will be like, I want you to stop. And I'll be like, I'm not going to lie to you.
That's like my brother. Yeah. You guys can get away with whatever.
I told my parents, like, probably months after I lost my virginity, I wasn't a virgin anymore.
Oh my God. That's
look,
so,
I am still.
We are virgins.
We are virgins. We have never had sex. Courtney's just making fun of us because we haven't. That is.
We have. Our hymens are fully present.
Fully present.
You guys only do like butt stuff. I know. You know,
only.
The poophole. I'm not
the
stupid.
The poophole. It's funny. It's like with Catholics, Muslim, I guess there's like the whole whatever religious, I don't know, circle you're in.
Anyway, this was a lot of fun.
This was fun, Courtney. Hey. Thank you so much. Where can our listeners follow you? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Follow me everywhere at Full Court Comedy, like Full Court Comedy. But you can also follow me at Smoke Break Comedy, where I run a show. It's about weed smoking. There's a nice little band, some jokes, some me, some free weed giveaways.
Ooh.
I always end with that and I get that response.
Hell yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about comedy or music.
No.
But free weed? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. You know? Yeah, like comedy, all right.
And eighth?
Yeah. What? That's so, awesome. Yeah, that's dope. Okay, great. And follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Ethereum.
And you can follow me at Amama Solar. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Canal Street Market, for having us.